Okay. Yeah, I'm sure everybody can hear me, can you hear myself? So let's simply, let's get started with our project overview and first results of the Game UI redesign project. My name is Peter Sicking. I'm a principal interaction architect, and I run my company and my works in Berlin. It all started 1 year ago at the LGM 06, and actually it started 2 weeks before that. We're at the Open Usability meeting in Berlin at the Chaos Computer Club. It's where open source people meet usability people. We were in some kind of a discussion, don't even remember what. And one moment I asked Sven Neumann, maintainer of GIMP, so what is GIMP actually? And GIMP said, Sven said, for GIMP, we don't know. So on the spot, he invited me to be 2 weeks later at the LGM 06 and work with the team on a product vision, which is simply stated on what it is for who and what value actually the application should bring. So spent 2 hours working with the GIMP team. First hour consisted of explaining why we should actually do a thing like this. Second hour was then productive. And through just discussions, working from what developers and other GIMP team members, working from the consensus that was within the team and maybe previous definitions and testing them if they were consistent, we got to some statements. Really, the preamble, GIMP is free software. What does that mean to me as an interaction specialist? Meaning that look and feel of GNOME is maybe more important than that of Windows. That's an impact that it has for me. Rule number one, no surprises here. The only thing to take into account is this point about from images. So it's more defined as starting with found images and working with them as to painting from scratch. Especially icon production was very important to the team. Quite similar is the production of web elements for web pages. What's for me very important is the production side of it. So really, not working creatively, but really thinking of somebody who's for a job or for a contract has to do this 8 hours a day. Another point that's very important to the team that GIMP is available as a platform for cutting-edge work. This does mean pure development skills. It also means you talk about really different user group as the normal graphics guy, I would say, much more technical. It's important to see with this one that this actually implies that you need no developer skills to actually do this. That is what we talked about. It's simply for a very general, for our target group of GIMP people, they should be able to get rid of the boring work and to set up what we've called black boxes to be able to just get through all these repetitive tasks. Last point. The definition is a chance to keep the core GIMP clean. Any kind of functionality that doesn't fit the product vision as we define it now can be simply said, okay, you make a plugin on your own and we can have distribution of these plugins via a central website and via one-click installation. We're not punishing any users anymore for wanting to extend the GIMP. The one-click part of the statement really sets a benchmark for how easy it should be. No fudging there from developers like, oh, a bit of shell scripting will also work. And this is what it looks like altogether, and that's what's made me happy. It's very short, and it's then a tool you can work with instead of having page after page after page of fluffy descriptions of what GIMP could be, should be, or what we like that it would be. Then, during the whole discussion of 2 hours, we also explicitly discussed what GIMP is not. Number one, it's not Photoshop. So there is no obligation to say like, oh, we can do it like that in Photoshop, why does Git do it? It's like, well, we got our own product vision, we know what we're aiming for, and for any feature or any kind of UI, we work on our own and choose our best solution. Also, why would you work on something that's pure a copy of something else just to make it available free of charge? Or just to have the source open? It is true that Photoshop and Git are in lots of situations the last two applications in the world that can help you to do a certain task. But it's not like one is the clone of the other, vice versa. As a some point there, it's also not Painter, as in, we can do watercolor painting or oil painting or that kind of stuff. The stress in the product vision was on working with found images with material that comes in. This is a role that Git used to have, the only pixel program in the whole world of Linux. That's over now. There are lots of applications for other tasks like managing your holiday photos, doing some simple screenshot and cutting it out, and that kind of stuff. And Git focuses on the high end. It does not need to be concerned with the bottom end of the pyramid, where people have some simple graphics tasks to do or want to browse their holiday photos. Especially like the name of an application called Digicam. It says exactly what it does, and it is for managing your snaps. Another thing we read, it's not a web page lookout application. If you choose to be a web page mockup application, you have to seriously support that. That means having layout features going more in the direction of that you can generate HTML, CSS. And you want to pile all that on top of what GIMP already has? I don't think so. And the team made it, I actually brought it up, like, what about making mockups? And after a bit of discussion, was like, no, we don't do that. So GIMP is for producing the pieces, the graphics pieces that go into websites by graphic designers, but it's not actively supports mocking up web pages. Somebody wants to do that with GIMP, they're free to do that, but it's their problem. You're on your own. So, as a result from what we've seen before, I can show you what comes immediately out of that. Lots of people talk about that software is intuitive. Interaction professionals, no, there's nothing, no such thing as intuitive software. What you can talk about is the three E's, and those are, first of all, ease of learning, which speaks for itself. How much effort do we have to put in to get to a decent level with the application? There's ease of remembering, this is important for applications that you use once a month, like reporting, or once a year, like a tax form. They need a lot of hand-holding to get through the application. You get a totally different UI. And there's ease of use, which simply means efficiency. Working 8 hours a day with the application, how much do we get done? And there's a relationship between these. And like in the real world, it is choose one point where you want to be. Now, being in the middle is very equilibrium, but it's actually a rotten place to be because it's a bit of everything, very wishy-washy. From the product vision, you can immediately say that GIMP belongs there. It's a high-end application, it's all about production, it's all about putting in a lot of effort to learn it. I like to compare it to learning the violin. In the beginning, it's not going to be pretty. But if you put in your effort, then whether as a professional or as an amateur, if you practice enough, you're able to create beautiful things on a violin or with GIMP. It's a bit more of ease of learning and ease of remembering, not because you should be using this. It is intended to be used intensely, so ease of remembering doesn't come into play. As some implication for developers, it really helps to make choices, like you got a new feature, do you do this UI or that? You can really choose for the efficiency and sort of compromise on how easy it is to learn. For users, it tells you why it took so long. Yeah, it took such a long time to learn either Photoshop or GIMP. I mean, they have the same markets, same problems. It simply cannot be made easier. All we can do is instead of making it a giant step, we can make it a ramp, but it's going to take effort. So that was the LGM. Then was a period where I was slowly getting involved with the project. But let me first tell you something. I would not have gotten involved with GIMP if we together wouldn't have managed to write down the product vision. No usability expert or interaction expert can help a software team when they don't know what they are and where they are going. Else you will forever have these endless discussions like, we want the power, yeah, that should be easy for the beginner users, or then suddenly a year later comes like, yeah, what about web page mockup? You just go around these circles and it simply goes nowhere. So we had a product vision, I get involved. And I needed a commitment to really change things, and as in GIMP are now, and GIMP as a project is ready for change because they know they got pain points in their UI. Third is that new technologies around the corner. Gaggle, from the first moment it was described to me, made it clear that Gaggle will make the UI much better. It will make it much more natural to implement things in the UI. That these are a very natural way of working compared to state-of-the-art in the 90s. So that all helped to get me involved. During the summer, I've done some ad hoc work with the GIMP team, for instance, on the new selection and crop tools that are coming in version 2.4. Then, we're now in August. It's been quiet for a while. Then came up the idea from the Berlin scene of open usability, bringing usability and open source together, to have student projects similar fashion as Google Summer of Code. And GIMP, then was the idea to make GIMP the pilot project. I was there available to mentor the thing. Some money was scratched together as a reward for the student project. And we're going to see how it runs. So August, the announcement went out. And by the time it was September, end of September, I had selected Camilla, who you will see in a couple of moments, to work with her on this project. So, from the moment that we discussed it and know what we were going to do, first of all, that was get an overview for us of the functionality and to make that short. So set the target of, it's going to fit in 12 pages. When I have a project, have to help a project like GIMP, I really have to know what I'm talking about. But it's on an overview level. It's not like every feature in detail when you're starting out. But you have to see where everything is connected and get used to the concept. So took a while, sort of 2.5 months, together with Camilla to sort it all out, to go through everything. All of us were not GIMP specialists in any way. And we got it done, 11 pages, which makes me very happy. And also here, that is a short document and not a binder full of stuff, means you can actually work with it. Then in the meanwhile, we needed another tool, and that's user scenarios, which focus on the essential use of GIMP. So to prepare that, we did workplace observation. We used the product vision to select the right kind of users, mostly Photoshop or GIMP users, and Ellen Reitmeier of Open Usability there, together with Camilla, did the observations in Berlin of the users. We used the input for a scenario weekend at the Linux Hotel in Essen. We took the part of the GIMP team that's mostly connected with users, that means who do support, documentation, we get a lot of feedback from the real world, I would say. And during the weekend, it was simply a matter of laptops closed and to work, and there was one place to start for that, for the scenarios, and that's again product vision. That's what you're trying to achieve, so that's what has to be expressed. So, question, how many scenarios did we end up with? We know that's GIMP has a boatload of features, giant application, but we got it down to 8. And can you see them? It again makes me very happy that that's on 2 pages. It's again a tool, not a documentation in 1 or 2 or 3 binders. If you would have gone and described any possible combination of what you could do there and just let it run on and on, you're actually maneuvering yourself in a very rigid position. This is the essence, based on facts, based on what the GIMP team knows, and this is what has been used further on in expert evaluation. And yes, it was based on the user scenarios. They are the guides. I mean, you cannot just go into an application and it's like, oh, let's have a look how okay it is on an architectural level. You simply start with the essence, which are the user scenarios, and you go from there, and then it's not about what we like or what Camilla likes. It's about architectural, how does it work for 1 million users, and that's what you look at. That also took a while. We're now in January, February, 25 sessions, 75 hours. And you see the difference between, or the contrast between how concentrated the user scenarios actually were and the exploration that went from there over, say, a month and a half. And that's the right kind of mix for me on what you spend your time on. I could have spent a month and a half writing out scenarios, but it would have gotten us nowhere. This is the phase where we are now. We're analyzing all the stuff we have found. And when you're analyzing, you go automatically towards solution models, which is simply pointing the way to go for the problems that we have found, the general solutions, what direction they have, and from there you can work on specification of new UI. So to show you some stuff, what we got up to now, I'm gonna put a bit of light in this talk and introduce you to Camilla. I was going to take you through the top 10 user requests.
So, as Peter said, I'm going to talk about the top 10 user requests. And we will start with number 10, which is better printing support. So, for the photo division, we know that we want to support high-end photo and original art. And we know that what is delivered is actually something that is really on paper. So here we have it's just an image, like paper in fact. And we can put an image on it, it can be centered, or it can be on the other side. So placing on paper is still part of the workflow, and that's why the person who's working, he has to control it, because it can be somehow, it can be created. And this has to be done in the main window.
So okay, to summarize, printing is an integral part of GIMP. Up to now being solved in some plugin you can install yourself, it has to be part of core GIMP. Second of all, you see that placement of an image is a creative job, and therefore needs to be hands-on, and put that piece of paper in the main window, let people with tools really move that until it's creatively perfect. And that was number 10.
So the request number 9 is painting with natural brushes. And the first thing we know also from the product vision is that GIMP is not a painter. And it means that we work on the real, on the existing images. And during the full expert evaluation, we went through all the steps of user scenarios, and we didn't find no point a requirement for experts for these kinds of brushes. We also conclude that, in fact, if somebody wants to have these kinds of brushes, he can still write himself a plugin, or he can use a plugin, and this should not be in the core GIMP.
So yeah, to summarize, we didn't find a requirement. Actually, Product Vision says, no, we're not that. And my conclusion is, yeah, keep them far away from core game, and don't let the product vision that you have for an application be watered down by putting in extra stuff that you can borrow from another application. And that was number 9.
Is improve the expo. And the expert elaboration went through original art and web graphics. And this means we have to use the text as in a creative way and in a functional way. Once again, we didn't find the requirement for page reality. We also saw that working, the user has to answer the question whether the text should be vector or pixel. What we did, realized that there is a request for styling and typographical control, especially for some of our kerning or Python shit, because to produce really professional effects, we found out that it's really not practical just to have one layer for each text. So we realized that especially when labeling 10 buttons on web, creating buttons for webs. So our solution is to have multiple text boxes, boxes within one layer. This would of course mean that there will be a problem of overlapping, but this could be solved with kind of a stacking order. Also the question vector or pixel would somehow disappear thanks to Gable. We know that it can be made easily with Gable, the distortion or applying some pixel text.
Okay, to summarize. Yeah, there's really requirements for typography. To really be able to, from the product vision, to make good on that promise that it's a hired program to produce for instance, web images. Second of all, blocks of text. Important to simply make working with text practical, certainly within the web scenarios. And we see it as a big benefit that simply, because of Gaggle, the whole thinking about is this text still vector or pixel can simply disappear because of the technology it offers. And it's provides a much more natural way of working. You simply don't have to think about it anymore. You can just do it. And that was point number 8.
The request number 7 is simple. So in the product vision, we got the production of web graphics. And in fact, in the scenarios, saving for web is still a part of the workflow. That's why we know that saving for web is required. What is the most important is to have the image as small as possible, so kilobytes, they matter. And we also know that there are just few web formats, and the user has to answer the question which format to choose. Another thing is side-by-side comparison. We know that the user, he doesn't do actually compare side by side. He's satisfied with the image that looks good. So the question is what quality he can get away with. So it's all about the user judgment of the image that he sees. What we want to do is to have one week window, and in this window we're going to use every child that's going to choose between the different web formats. Gimp was helping with calculating the file size or with choosing the best default. Also, the whole big window would be a preview, and it would have the possibility to zoom with zoom tools.
Okay, in summary, to make it short, yep, you need separate safer web. There are some discussions like, if you're not clever enough to use the normal saving for that, you shouldn't be using it. But from the product vision, via the scenarios, it simply comes to you need a separate workflow for that because you have the limited amount of graphics formats in contrary to the open choice when you save for other purposes. And it's all about kilobytes, saving the bandwidth of your customer. Then, of course, for comparing nodes side by side, do it in a big preview. Why not reuse the whole main window for that? And just with the zoom tools, allow to set panning and zoom to really inspect the areas that the user is interested in. And that was number 7.
Request number 6 is organizing brushes, palettes, gradients, and categories. We know that all those resources they accumulate, and so the user are they're asking for categories. However, if you think about categorizing, then just palettes would be a part of just one category, and this means that the user would have just one way. About is tagging. It would mean that user would have the possibility to make multiple associations of the resources. This would mean that he would find a palette easier through different paths. And for that, we would surely need to rewire.
To summarize the idea is to tag. It really enables to, when you got a palette, not only to use customer name, product name, or say it's a warm palette, and via all those routes be able to find it back later, and really do more with the resources you build anyway when you're doing projects. And that's it, number 6.
Request number 5 is avoid
pop-up
dialogues. So the next part of evaluation is many dialogues that are not really necessary. And these are, for example, create new layer or rotate perspective or scaling. Why we don't want that? It's just because they somehow they break the workflow. And so our idea is just take them out. There are also no vacancies for no place or dialogues in toolbox or dialogue in doc. So we cannot move the number. Also during the expert evaluation we saw that some of them or even majority of the dialogues has just a limited preview or even there's no preview so we have to wait. So another is
yeah, so what to do? Well, first of all, get rid of what doesn't need to be there, what breaks up the workflow, but with a couple of simple defaults according to what a layer really is, which is a transparent foil, simply do it. and then when you want to change it, do that later, and that will, I think, speed up 900,000 users and annoy 100,000, but I think it's worth it. Sayable ID is, a preview is a limited number of pixels. Also in the main window, there's simply a limited number of pixels. It tends to mean 1 or 2 million pixels, but in a similar fashion, you can speed up your calculations to show. So make the main window the whole preview. Then, yes, heads-up displays. Instead of in front of what you're doing, they're part of what you're doing. And because you can simply look through them a bit, you never lose that overview that you had. And that's point number 5.
Point number 4 is better painting tools. We started with an idea, a solution that is 4 brush models. So that 4 brush models, they are just for color painting, and we thought, why not? So these 4 brush models would be, for example, icons and tool options. This might be, for example, very useful in the Dodge and Burn tool or Sharpener. New tools. During the workplace observation, we noticed that there is a big, our work is actually the tool number 1 for photographers and should probably become more interesting. Also, we found a gap in painting tools. We can paint with color brightness, but you can't really paint with saturation. Then we have the paint modes, which we also evaluate. We notice that some of them are really natural, and they might be, you cannot really understand what they do, and the other ones are more mathematical. What we thought is to take out it changed into take out the natural ones and change them into paint tools. And the rest, the mathematical one, they the same. And we also evaluate wild brushwork, and we noticed that there's actually no equivalent of the physical having palette in your paint and smearing, putting some kind of signs, not only paint on. This is our idea, this is just an image, and we thought about having some final palette. We call it blobs of paint. So the user could drag the colors from the image or use the eyedropper for that. And it would be very easy. And he could also, that's an idea to use the filters for that. So for example, the blobs of paint could be the result of a filter. So for example, the user would have paint with a noise. Of course, it has to be easy to take the colors out. Maybe even mix them.
So to summarize, first of all, separate the 4 brush modes from what you're actually doing and squeeze them into all the painting tools. Then we saw a couple of extra tools. We saw the painting modes, that mysterious menu that is in the toolbox always, that you can really separate them between the natural ones that have a decent name and you can guess what they do and the mathematical ones that are for the hardcore user. So separate those tools. And then there is the blobs of paint concept to really support easy go working with colors. Could even start mixing them in there. And especially this, just dip your brush in noise and start painting with it, is something that's quite appealing and broadens the scope of what you can do painting. And that was point number 4.
And the request number 3 is layer trees and layer groups. During the workplace observation, we saw that many users, they use Photoshop for grouping, and they use it for both for physical and for logical grouping. What more, they even use it in a better way to support version. Up here we have four layers, and you can create a physical, you can organize a physical web and create a group. This is represented here in a vertical way in UI. But it should, you could also group them the other way. You could just make a set out of the different layers. And this would be more the logical way, represented in a horizontal way. So, what about the versions? We saw in the user scenarios that there is a need to compare different approaches. That's the work that's working on the project, where you have different steps. And what about giving different labels for different moments? This would support version control. So the user would be always able to go back. And there's also branching. This would, branching would support comparing different approaches, and also thanks to Google, we know that it would be easy to track and drop the good ideas from one version to the other.
Okay, in summary, yes, there is a need for separate groups and sets, serve two different purposes, and needs different representation in UI, certainly not mix them up. We see version control. Gentlemen developers, don't go overboard on the features here. It has to remain very simple just to do that. Simply a labeling point in time so you can go back to important steps and yes, the branching to really compare creative or technologically working on two different solutions or more solutions and then choosing the best one and support that with one file. And that was point number three.
And request number two is adjustment layers. users using Photoshop, they think they know it's powerful and that's why they really want it. However, during the expert evaluation, we realized that Google would allow readjusting the layers in a more natural way. That's why, for example, applying on an image different effects like levels, hertz, noise, blur would be possible also in a different way. So you could, in fact, go back to curves when you think that your image is not punchy enough and just adjust the curves, or even change the order of the operations. You could support the experimenting. So from the architectural point of view, the one right now layer is just can be explained in one sentence, which is like it's like transparent oils that's put together and create an image. And if we adjust the adjustment layers concept, it was become a very much easier. And this makes it less powerful. Compared to Google.
So, to keep it short, adjustment layers, no. That's something you do in the 90s within frameworks like Photoshop, but with the promise of Gaggle, there's really no need to break your head and try to introduce that and write loads of manuals for that. You can simply work very naturally in Gaggle, completely along the lines of how you're thinking about your graphics. You're able to go back and reuse just stuff you did 2 months ago, or you're able to quickly experiment with the order in a way of how treatments are applied to an image. You just throw them around, drag and drop and everything, and that's way more powerful than just new layers. And that's what I mean.
And request number one is simple meter interface. So So that the two inspectors, they take a impact around 440 pixels, and we saw that the inspectors are also the real Windows imitation of the taskbar. So we found the two menu bars quite disturbing.
Okay, before you talk about single in interface, you simply have to solve the real problems first, which is all the stuff that's going on right now with the inspectors. So, simply claiming back real estate for screen real estate for your image by smaller, more lean, real inspectors floating, not any more inspectors in your taskbar. It simply doesn't match what the user is thinking. In your taskbar should be simply each image that you're working on because that's your goal. A palette or a toolbox doesn't belong there. So once you solve that, you're in the position to actually discuss single window interface. If you haven't done that, you better stop talking. Once you start talking, you really have to think about the drawbacks. You really saw in the mock-up that because there's no overlapping anymore, you can use this clever trick with the half transparency. You're back to really small screen area for your image. So I only see this working for screens of 1600, 2000 pixels wide, where it really would pay off that you can make a concentrated environment to work on your image. And I guess that's what they were thinking of at Apple and Adobe also. So it's still a discussion, still open for me. And with that was number one. So our top 10 is finished. Just to close off, we work openly in a wiki. You can see us work. You can even see, if you check twice a week, that in the beginning of the week we write some nonsense, and at the end of the week it looks a lot better. All that we've done up to now is there, and you can see a lot of simply follow what we're doing. I write about what I do in my blog, among other things. So you can check it out there. Theoretical, but also very practical about solutions. And you can reach us at these two addresses. And that was our talk. Thank you very much. I'm
Thank you for questions.
Yes, questions. We do have time for that. Anyone?
Everybody knocked out?
Yeah.
It might be a little bit. This might be a little bit esoteric, but I'm wondering about the future of Gimpo Gedo, and from my perspective as a 3D artist, I use it to make textures. And one of the things that is different from, maybe different, maybe I don't know enough about your use cases, is that you're really not trying to produce one image. So you have your GIMP file that you're working in, and you have multiple layers, and you have different things in each layers, and you're trying to make out of those maybe 5 or 6 different images. One's a bump map, one's a image map, one's a reflection, whatever. That goes onto your fine fiction model. Mm-hmm. And so you need to be easily able to have them all linked together, like in a nodal hierarchy, like Able works, but also to be able to output and view very easily 4 or 5 different images. Now, the way you do it in GIMP right now is a little bit cumbersome. You end up duplicating layers, and then when you paint on one, you have to reduplicate and redo an operation. I wonder if you think of having multiple outputs available, like so the node doesn't have just one result, but multiple possible results.
Well, I think I can help you there. What you have to realize about the user scenarios is not like that's it, 8 points and finished. It are more points that how would you say that? That construct a whole usage space, and it simply tells you where, how big the space is and how complicated you can get. For instance, what you're trying to do is that multiple image problem of yours is very similar to what web designers have. They, on one canvas, create a set of stuff or maybe even create it together, then they have to cut it out in blocks that go into the placement of the CSS. What we are doing for Data Query, for instance, creating a cutting mask, which is simply multiple rectangles that make that you can, in one time, simply punch that out and save that to files in predefined names, and I think that would help you. But here you see that a web scenario actually helps what you're trying to do because it's very similar. I hope you're satisfied with it.
What you're asking for is actually in the group of layer grouping, layer sets, and layer trees. So once you have layer sets and layer groups, one layer can be in several sets of groups. So you can probably quite easily have different views of the same image just by enabling that group only, just like in now are able to enable one layer only. So you will be able to just see this set of layers, or this group of layers, so it's not really something that's fundamental.
The summary then is taking the 3D artist into consideration for the use cases, because it's like currently lots of GIMP users are 3D artists, and this is very a common use case
right now. Although you're not explicitly mentioned in the use cases, if you combine simply the requirements that come from that, I think we're able to support you really well. But to make our project work, we simply have to draw the line at the essential, and that's what you have to realize about the user scenarios. It is in the description of everything. It just points in that space that tell us how big it is, how deep it is, and how complicated it gets. And if you combine those elements from different scenarios, I'm really confident that we really can help you. So you're not like that, although not mentioned specifically. Anybody else? Everybody wants lunch. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.